You're listening to some of my best and most knobbly bits from today's show. For more of the same, tune into Moncrief weekdays from 2. This year also marks the 10th anniversary of the death of Michael Lotito. Now, Michael was a Guinness World Record holder, and for an extraordinary reason. He could eat anything. He once ate a plane. Anna Nichols is a former Guinness World Record invigilator and the author of Strictly Off the Record. Anna, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Tell us about your first meeting with him.
Well, I had a very strange meeting with Michel. It was way back in 1988, and I had gone to Paris with the world's greatest memory man, who was performing on TV. And while we were staying there, I suggested that Michel come and join us for a glass of champagne, which I thought would be rather nice. We'd spoken on the phone many times at the Guinness Book of Records. So he bounced along and met us in the bar of the hotel, and we served up the champagne, and he drank some of it. And then I looked across, and to my horror, I saw he'd begun to start eating the glass, crunching the glass between his teeth. So it was quite an interesting meeting, one I shall never forget.
Yes. Was this something he did habitually, or was he perhaps doing it because he knew who you were?
No, he did do this habitually. I mean, he was a world-class entertainer who, from the age of 16, discovered that he had this incredible ability to chew on crockery and glass, and he made it quite an entertainment act, and he obviously got paid for doing it. I mean, obviously, I imagine there was a bit of humour involved when he met up with me, as I was a Guinness invigilator. Probably wanted to show me that he really did know how to crunch up glass very easily. But I can tell you this, we had the memory man with us, Preyton Carvello, who was the world's greatest card memory person, and he was just so shocked. I just remember him sitting in the bar with his eyes agog, a northerner from England, thinking, what the heck have I ended up sitting next to? But it was very funny. I don't know, the barman was so amused though.
Yeah, and of course, it's something he'll never forget, because he can't.
No.
There was something special about his physiology, that Michel could eat all these things.
Yes, that's right. I mean, it's known as the term is known as pica, which is a sort of, it's people that have an obsession for eating non-nutritive items such as glass and metal and strange toxic items. But the fact was that he did have this special lining, a thick lining on his stomach walls, which meant that when he consumed things, they didn't affect him. You know, they didn't hurt him. And so, you know, he got into a very easy habit of having at least 2 pounds of metal a day when he was performing. You know, it could be glass, it could be wood carvings. I mean, as you know, he got his way, munched his way through quite a lot of bicycles and supermarket trolleys.
Yeah.
And then he went off to Caracas, actually, for some, I think it was a world record championship, and that's when he got the idea to eat this Cessna light aircraft, which he managed to scoff in 2 years, grinding up bits of the parts every day. It's incredible, isn't it, to think that that's how one spends one's life and way of living, really.
Yeah, no, he has, among other things, 18 bicycles, 15 shopping carts, 8 chandeliers, 7 televisions, 2 beds, a pair of skis, 1 airplane, 1 coffin and 1 computer. Now, he did, there was a method, though, in the way he would consume these things. He wouldn't just, like, jump on it and start biting.
Oh, no. No, thank God. But he did, he minced up everything. You know, he'd put things into handy components. I think he worked out that he could consume about 2 pounds or so a day without any ill effect on his, you know, physiognomy. So then he got into this habit of sort of putting things into these 2 pound amounts, and then every day would chomp on them until he finally got through the bicycle or the trolley or whatever it happened to be. But, you know, he was so determined always to hold the record in the Guinness Book of Records that, you know, nothing would surprise us. You know, he'd always come out with some other new zany idea for what he could consume.
And when he was consuming things, would he use water? Because he'd be just swallowing the pieces, I assume. Would he use water or oil or something to kind of...
I don't know much about it, but he used to use a lot of mineral oil and slosh down water when he was eating. Mm. And the mineral oil apparently helped all these foreign objects go through his system very easily. And don't want to bring up bodily functions, but he never had a problem with them.
They would just come out the other end. Did anyone ever consider, like, getting him to eat, you know, eat a plane and then rebuilding the plane once it was...
What a great thought. No, they didn't, actually. I don't like the idea of that somehow.
Yeah, not would you, one you'd like to fly in, really, particularly.
No.
Well, given that, how many world records did he have? And was there actually anybody in the world who could even challenge this kind of thing?
There there was literally no one in the world who could challenge him. So, I mean, it was just a question of him literally getting the tag of the world's greatest omnivore. And, you know, he had that tag for all time. Well, I was at the Book of Records anyway. I mean, you have people eating, you know, largest amounts of pizzas or drinking beer, but no one had his phenomenal track record. And no one has since, to be honest. He really was a one-off.
Yeah, he died quite young, though.
Yes, he did. He died at 57, and I know that the family at the time said it was natural causes, which I did sort of question. And I remember speaking to Norris McWhirter, you know, the founder of the Guinness Book of Records, who I work with very closely, and we both came to the conclusion that there must have been some element of his disorder that must have brought about his slightly untimely death.
Yeah.
It was never actually revealed what he died of, but it I mean, one can only imagine that it must have played a part.
Yeah, you would imagine it would have had to.
Imagine.
The Guinness Book of Records did give him, asking for trouble, a brass plaque.
Yes, they did. And the brass plaque didn't last very long. Down the street before you could say Guinness Book of Records. I mean, he was just incredible. And I think, you know, the thing I loved about Michel was that he was an entertainer and he knew how much it made everyone laugh. And, you know, he was always up for pranks and, you know,
yeah,
trickster and moves.
And as you say, this was he made a living from this. There was an act. What did the act consist of?
Well, you know, he would literally have piles of metal parts and glass and other things, and he would systematically eat them to a shocked audience. You know, just chew them as if he was having a sort of five-course deluxe meal at some five-star. And then he'd just drink, you know, water and this strange-looking oil. And the audience was entranced. I mean, this was his act. And, you know, he'd been doing it for so many years. I mean, you think he started at 16. So, yes, and he used to get paid very handsomely, and he'd be invited to all these amazing world record challenges around, you know, different countries. And he'd be flown out, you know, first class and stay at nice hotels. So, I mean, you know, I think he had a pretty nice life, really.
That's not bad.
If that's your thing.
Yeah, if that's your thing. Actually, many years ago, you just reminded me of this. A TV show I worked on, one of the guests on it, his act was he would regurgitate things. And we were having, you know, something to eat in the canteen before we started the programme. And someone said, "Where's the salt?" And of course, your man hocks up the salt that he and thought that was hilarious.
Dear God, I'm glad I didn't meet him. That's all
yeah,
I can say.
Yeah, I can't look at salt again ever since.
I'm sure you can't.
Nicholas is the author of Strictly Off the Record, On the Trail of World Records with Norris McWhirter. Anna, thank you very much for speaking with us today. Thanks for listening. I hope you were enthralled, horrified, or tickled pink. For more of the same, tune into Moncrief weekdays from 2:00.